Our Old Testament reading and sermon text comes this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, the fifth commandment. And let's again listen to God's word and know that he has spoken it and he is speaking it still today as his living word. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Our Father and God, you are our Heavenly Father, and we are your children. We strive to be obedient to your word. Help us to do these things by the power of your Spirit, that we may glorify you and your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we study through the Ten Commandments over these weeks, we come to a major transition today in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Remember that Jesus summarized the commandments of God with two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the first commandments are mostly about loving the Lord our God. The fourth commandment is sort of a transition in itself because it's about loving God by coming together on the day that he has appointed to worship him. It's about honoring him with our work, but it's also about loving our neighbor with the work that we do and loving our neighbor by giving rest and giving justice on the Lord's day. But the fifth commandment is really about loving our neighbor, specifically our parents. Loving God by loving our parents, by honoring them, and by being subject to them. And so this is a transition. The rest of this is the second table of the law, which teaches us how to love neighbor. And in the Christian church, historically, maybe especially in the Reformed tradition, this commandment has always been seen as having a much wider application than just honoring father and mother. It's been understood rightly, as I think, that it is speaking about all authorities. It's speaking about all the various authorities that we are subject to. So it's speaking about our responsibilities to the civil government, to the state, to the office bearers of that institution, that we as citizens are to honor and respect them. There are also authorities in the church. There are pastors and elders that we are subject to, and we need to honor them as well. This commandment is about that. And we have bosses in the workplace, and we have teachers at school. God has given us these authorities and others in his providence so that we might learn obedience, so that we might learn to honor those who are above us. And so we could talk about all of those different authorities. We could talk about all of our different duties to them. That would take way too long, so we're not going to talk about any of that stuff. We're just going to talk about mother and father, father and mother, because that's really where it all begins. If we do not learn in the home to honor and to obey our father and mother, we will not be submissive in other areas of our life. We will not learn to give honor to those other authorities. This is really where it starts. And if we don't get this right, we're not going to relate to all of those other authorities that God has given us in a proper way. And in some ways, I think if we just stick to the whole issue of father and mother, that might be for a lot of us the hardest, most difficult aspect of this commandment to apply. For some of you, when I mentioned the need to honor your parents, there may be some reservations in your mind. Maybe some of you teenagers, maybe some of you who are adults who are no longer in your parents' household, but maybe your parents didn't treat you right. Maybe they sinned against you. Maybe your parents weren't particularly honorable. You could probably say, well, Pastor, you know, you don't know what my father did to me. You don't know what my mother said to me. And that's right. I don't know. I don't know the whole history of everyone here. But God certainly does know. And yet God has given you this commandment. And so we're going to see how it is that we are to honor our parents. And we're all in different stages of life here. And this commandment has different applications to different stages of life. But we're gonna have application for everybody in this room today to instruct us how to honor father and mother. And we're also going to see that when we do it, God has promised us rich and great blessings. So I want to first look at some of the details of the commandment itself. And of course, the first word is the verb. And it's a command verb. It's an imperative verb. To honor. And this word in Hebrew means to make something heavy. To make it weighty. It's the word in Hebrew that is used for glorify. This word could be translated glorify your father and mother. Very easily. It's actually the same word that is used in instructing us to glorify and honor God, to reverence God. Same word is used. It doesn't mean that you worship your parents. That's not what it means. It means that the parental authority comes from God. His authority stands behind the authority of father and mother in the home. And that authority is given to men and women from God, and we need to recognize that, and we need to respect that. And to rebel against that authority, what does that mean? It means it's to rebel against God's authority. Who gave it? Leviticus 19, verse 3, is another version of this commandment, and it actually puts it even more strongly in Leviticus 19. It says, every one of you shall revere his mother and father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. So, fourth and fifth commandment, right? And notice, a couple things to notice in this giving of the commandment. Here it's not father and mother. It's mother and father. In the biblical languages, when you want to emphasize something, they didn't have exclamation points. They didn't underline things or put things in, you know, scare quotes or anything like that. They put something at the beginning of the clause or the sentence that they wanted to emphasize. And so in the Deuteronomy and Exodus version of this commandment, you have honor your father and mother. Here you have revere your mother and father. So what's that telling us? It's telling us that the reverence and honor that we're to give is just as much owed to mother as father. We are to honor both equally in the home. So the honor is for both. And it says here, we're to revere them. This is not the same verb. It's not the verb to make heavy or to glorify or to honor. It's the verb to fear or to reverence father and mother. And again, it's the same word in the Old Testament that is used of our duty toward God himself. Revere them. Respect them. Reverence them. So again, does that mean that we are to worship our father and mother? No, absolutely not. And we don't give them the same kind of honor and reverence that we give to God. Their authority over us is not absolute as his is. We do not worship them. Their claim is not absolute. Jesus actually tells us this when he is speaking to the crowds, telling them that they need to believe in him and follow him. And in Matthew 10, he says, I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, Jesus is saying, even your parents have limits to their authority, right? They cannot tell you to do what is sin. So, for instance, they cannot tell you, you can't follow Christ. You can't believe in Jesus. You can't give your life to him. No, you must obey God rather than men. That's what the first commandment tells us. No other gods before the living God. But that said, reverence and honor is to be given to parents when they do not compete with God. And not in spite of our reverence to God, but because of it. Because again, his authority is standing behind them. And so we actually show honor and reverence to God when we show honor and reverence to our mother and father. And of course, if we don't, we bring dishonor to God and we sin. How serious is God about this commandment? God is pretty serious about it. And let me show that to you by reading from Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 through 20. This is one of the case laws of the Mosaic Law, and it says there, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, the son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. And so you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And some parents are thinking, please tell us that this part of the Mosaic Law is still in force, right? Please tell us that we, no, well, it's not. This law is not still in force. We live in the New Covenant, and this is not how we deal with rebellious and stubborn sons today. We're not going to pick up rocks and stone your kid for you, okay? There are other ways of dealing with things. But it does tell us how important this commandment is to God. It does tell us that. And a few things to say about this particular law as well. This is speaking about a young adult. Now, when we'll see this today. When we come to this command, there are applications of it in Scripture that apply to the very young. There are applications that would apply to, we would call them maybe teenagers, young people still in the home. And there are applications that apply to adults who are not under their parents' authority anymore. And this is speaking about what we would probably call a teenager, an adolescent, a young man. This is not a little kid who won't pick up his toys, okay? He's old enough to be a glutton and a drunkard. He's old enough to be a danger to himself and to other people. And we also have to say that what was done here in this case law is probably extremely rare. It probably didn't happen very often at all. But notice this, he won't obey his father or his mother. Okay, mom and dad are both telling him what to do, and he won't listen to either one of them. And then notice, too, that they have chastened him. So there has been discipline, okay? The parents have been faithful in disciplining their son, and he is not responsive to that discipline either. His behavior has not changed, even though there's been consequences. And the idea here is that they have done this again and again and again, probably year by year by year, and he continues to be rebellious and stubborn. And so they take him to the elders of the town. The men of the city pick up stones and they throw them at this kid until he's dead. A lot of people point to this kind of passage in the Bible and say, wow, you know, the God of the Bible is really mean. You know, the God of the Bible is really unfair and harsh. What a lot of people don't say about this passage is, or what they don't consider about this passage, is that this is a gluttonous, drunk, strong, out of control young man who can cause a great deal of harm and damage and injury to his family and to his community. God is serious about this commandment. God is serious about us honoring our father and mother, whatever age that we are, whatever station of life that we're in. And some of you need to pay really close attention to what God's word is telling you today. Some of you really need to take this to heart. Back to Deuteronomy 5, notice again in verse 16 that we are to honor father and mother. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So this is the father is first in this order. We've already seen that the mother can sometimes be put first. The mother can be emphasized. And this is interesting because in all of the ancient Near Eastern law codes, the laws of all the nations around Israel about this time, there's lots of laws like this. There's lots of laws, especially about obeying your father, doing what he tells you to do and submitting to his authority. That's not unusual. But there's virtually nothing about the mother. In all the law codes of the pagan nations, there's nothing about honoring or obeying or respecting your mom. But that's not God's way. God's way is that mother and father are both to be respected by their children. They are the authority over their children. And sure, mom is to submit to dad in the marriage, the institution of marriage. But for the kid, it's mom and dad. They are your authority. They are over you in the Lord. And dad, that means your wife is to be respected by you, that you are to back her up in front of the kid. She's not the oldest kid, all right? And you're not to treat her that way. We all know you're the patriarch. We all know you're in charge. You're the head of the family. But you need to stand behind the authority of your wife before the children. And when you mistreat her, when you insult her, when you degrade her, especially in front of the kids, what are you doing? You're undercutting her authority. And guess what? You're also undercutting your authority because some of your kids are going to resent it. And they're just going to think you're a jerk. And they're not going to want to listen to you. But others of your kids are going to copy you. They're going to imitate you. They're going to start treating their mother the way you treat her. And eventually, they'll treat you that way too. Honor your father and your mother. And mother and father, be together in this. Be together in raising your children. Like I've said a couple times already, there are various applications of this commandment depending on the stage of life that you are in, that Scripture gives you. And I'm calling this stages of honor throughout the life cycle. This commandment is for every one of us because every one of us has a mother and father. And you know, it doesn't even matter if your mother and father are still alive or not. You can dishonor your mother and father. You can break this commandment even though your parents are dead. You can do that. So it's for all of us. It's for all of us. You might not be a little child anymore, but you are a son and daughter. And you always will be. You always will be. Well, the first application of this is when you're a kid. You're a little kid. Okay, and the application of the commandment here for you children is really pretty easy. And the Apostle Paul spells this out for us even more clearly. For instance, in Colossians 3:20, he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And then in Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then what does he do? He gives us the commandment, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So Paul's writing to the, when he writes to the Colossians, when he writes to the Ephesians, he's not just writing to the adults, he's writing to the kids too. He's writing to the children who are going to be there when the church gets the letter and the pastor reads the letter to everyone who is there. And there's a message here from the apostle to the children. Kids, remember God's commandment. Remember the fifth commandment, and it means to obey your mother and father in all things. And that's really the application for you. Obey your mom and dad. Have a good attitude about it. Do it quickly. If mom asks you to pick up, pick up. Okay. If dad says, you know, don't play with your dump truck in the vegetable garden, don't do it. Okay. Play with your truck somewhere else. You honor your mother and father when you do what they say, when you obey your word. And you know what? When you do that, you honor God too. And you show that you love God by obeying your parents. And when you don't do what your parents have told you to do, when you disobey them, that's a sin against God, right? Do you understand that? That's a sin against God. And so not only do you have to ask your parents for forgiveness and do what they've asked you to do, you also have to go to God in prayer and confess that sin to Him. So we all need to understand that. God said this commandment is so that children will know to obey their mom and dad. And when your kids are younger, it's pretty simple. Okay, you just need to be consistent. You need to be consistent with discipline. When your children don't obey, you need to love them. You need to teach them. Let them know what the expectations are. Be very clear about all of that. And just, you know, keep at it. You say, well, I got a disobedient kid, you know, and I have to spank him all the time. That's all right. You know, some kids are more compliant than others. Just stick with it. Just be faithful. And God will be faithful. You'll get there. And some people might think, well, you know, I've got three or four kids all under the age of five, and things are going pretty well, and this parenting thing is actually pretty easy. What's the big deal? You know, parents have teenagers. It's really the same thing, isn't it? It's not the same thing, okay? It's not the same thing. Well, the principles are the same, but there are different challenges, and there are different applications. And so I want us to think about what God says to older kids, or what we might call teenagers. What does this commandment look like when you're an older kid and you're still at home? And what are the challenges? And there's some people who will say there's nothing different about being a teenager. Teenagers just have to obey like everybody else. It doesn't matter if they're 5 or they're 15. Nothing has changed. Nothing is different. And we also live sort of in a modern era, and we kind of want to react against that. We live in a modern era that thinks that adolescence or the teenage years is just a time where everybody expects the kids to go nuts, you know, for a few years. And hopefully, you know, we can't do much about it. Hopefully they'll just get over it, you know. Hopefully they'll just get it out of their system. Well, yes and no. I mean, yes and no. First of all, the Bible does have terms for what roughly corresponds to the teenage years. And also gives application of this commandment to those people. So in the Bible, we read sometimes about a youth, na'ar in Hebrew, a youth. And that's a boy who's 13 to 18 years of age, roughly. And we'll read about in the Bible a girl that the Hebrews calls an alma. Sometimes it's, depending on your Bible translation, could be a maiden, it could be a virgin, it could be a young girl. But it's a young woman who's not yet married, and she's still in the home. So the Bible does acknowledge those categories of people. It does acknowledge that time of life. And this modern idea that we should just expect teenagers to do whatever and just hope they calm down before they go to jail or die, that's not biblical at all. But at the same time, we want to acknowledge that there are changes that happen. There are changes that happen. We relate to our children a little bit differently when they're teenagers, and they definitely think differently about us. They really do. They really do. Your 15-year-old is not 6 anymore. When your child is 6, he is in awe of you. He thinks you're wonderful. In fact, some of you have experienced this too. Some of you fathers have been mistaken for God in your home by your little kids. And that's natural. That's normal. That's what you want to see. You want to correct that. But they're respecting you, and you're towering above them. But when you get to the teenage years, there are different challenges. Maybe respect becomes a big challenge for a teenager. Is there a teenager for whom respect is not a challenge? Maybe we should ask the question like that. And why is this a challenge? Why is this a challenge that the Bible addresses? Well, there's a couple things. One of them is physical. You know, when you're a 15-year-old boy, you're not an adult, but you're becoming one. And because of the physical changes in your body, you're now 6 inches taller than mom. And so in the brain of a young boy, you're thinking, well, if I'm taller than mom, maybe I don't have to obey mom anymore. You know, maybe I don't really have to respect mom anymore. And dad, that's where you come in, right? So there's those physical things, growing in size and strength and abilities. But there's also a change in thinking. There's a change in reasoning. Again, your teenager is probably not in awe of you anymore, like the 5-year-old was. And we miss those days. Oh, wow, you know, I could do no wrong when my kids were little. But now what? They have the power of judgment. They're developing the power of judgment. They're developing the power of abstract thought, which a 5-year-old doesn't do. You know, that logic curriculum that you bought and went through with them, they start to think, I can now use this against my father. It's like, hey, I taught you this. You can't use this against me. But they'll try to do that. They'll try to do that. Dad, your thinking is irrational. You're inconsistent. This makes no sense. I don't understand why I should have to do whatever it is. Five-year-olds generally don't do that on the same level. But, you know, kids, you may be taller than your mom, but she's still your mom. She's still your mom. You may look like an adult. You may be starting to reason like an adult and think like an adult and become mature, but you're not one yet. You don't have maturity yet. When you're 30, you will not have to obey your mom and dad. Hopefully you will remember the good things that they taught you. Hopefully you will continue in them. But for right now, you're in their home. There are still things for you to learn from them. And one of the things that God wants you to learn is honor and respect. That's still a big lesson that you need to learn. So for maybe teenagers or young adults, one way that you need to honor and respect your parents is by the way that you talk to them or talk about them to other people. Let me give you an example of some other laws that we find in the Old Testament about cursing father and mother. Exodus 21:17 says, "And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Leviticus 20:9 says, "Everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." And Proverbs 20:20, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." Are you getting the picture? You're getting the picture of what God wants. Are you getting the picture of what honor looks like for your parents? God is really displeased when you disrespect your parents, when you yell at them, when you have angry outbursts against them. "Yes, but God doesn't know how difficult my parents are, how they've hurt me, how they've been mean to me." Actually, he does know, and he tells you, you still have to honor them, and you still must respect them. And what's the refrain of the teenager whenever it comes to their parents and conflict with the parents? I know because I was a teenager, and anybody who's a teenager knows, my parents don't understand me. My parents don't get me. They're old. I'm young. Okay, they're getting senile. I'm young and strong. They just don't understand. And I know this is practically impossible to believe, but your parents were also adolescents just like you. Okay, they were just like you, and they understand a lot more than you think they do. And they also understand how much they didn't know when they were teenagers. They also remember the stupid things that they did when they were your age. And so they're not going to be impressed with that particular argument. And you know what? God is not impressed with that either. Do you know who else's parents did not understand him? Jesus. Jesus' parents didn't understand him. And the Bible actually tells us that. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old, Luke chapter 2 says that his parents went from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the feast. And remember when they left to go home with the caravan of people going back to Nazareth, they thought Jesus was there, but he wasn't. And they realize it, so Mary and Joseph run back to Jerusalem. And after 3 days of hunting for him, they find him in the temple. And what is he doing? He is in conversation, in deep conversation, with the greatest theologians and philosophers of his day. 12 years old. And we're told in Luke 2, Mary comes in and she says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Mary is upset with her 12-year-old son. And Jesus says to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand. They didn't understand him. You know, Jesus, even though he's 12 years old, he knows that he's the Savior of the world. He knows that he is Israel's Messiah. Who do you think knew the Word of God better, Jesus or Joseph? It's not a hard question. And so what was Jesus' attitude toward his parents? Hey, I'm God. You know, you can't tell me what to do. I'm God. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Luke says that he went back with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. He was subject to them. Jesus, who had sinful parents, who made mistakes, who goofed up, who got out of control and angry, and Jesus is perfect in every way, never sinned, and yet he submitted to them. He honored his parents. I think if Jesus had to honor his parents, I think you do too. Even if they don't understand you, which they probably really do. But if Jesus had to honor and respect and reverence and obey his mother and father, so do you. And parents, sometimes, you know, when we come up against the challenge of older kids who challenge our authority, sometimes we make things worse by the way we react to it. Right? Paul says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they can become discouraged. There's lots of ways that as fathers and mothers we can provoke our kids. But one of the ways that we can do it, I think, is when, you know, our young adult in the home is kind of going ballistic, and we handle it like a teenager. We do it right back to them. You know, they have an angry outburst, they have a fit of temper or rage, and we yell right back at them. Yeah, I think you're dumb. I don't think I should ever have to listen to you. You know, well, no, I don't think I should have to listen to you. I think you're dumb. You know, that kind of stuff is just provoking your child to more and more anger. You are the adult. You are the father. You are the mother. Act like the authority should act. And what's that mean? You know, your daughter pitches a fit because she doesn't get what she wants and she slams the door. Or she gives you the silent treatment. Don't you slam the door. And don't you give her the silent treatment. What do? You go after them. You tell them that you love them, that you care about them. You do it in a calm way, but you say, this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be. And there need to be consequences for disrespect. There need to be consequences for disobedience, and we need to stick with that. Okay, you're not going to the friend's birthday party. You're not going to have the computer time. You're not going to get to use the car or whatever it is. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, there needs to be consequence. You don't give in to them so that they can get their way. And by doing that, you love them. And you teach them to respect you. The Bible does address the different stages of life, and it addresses the application of this commandment when we're adults. We're adult children of older parents, when we're out of the home of our parents. How is it that we are to honor God and honor them? Well, obviously, we're no longer talking about obedience. That's not fitting. Children, Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. He's talking to the little kids in the church. And you're always going to be a son or a daughter to your parents, but you're not always going to be their child. You're not going to be their child. God's will is that we grow up and we mature and that we go out and we start our own households with their own authority structures. And you can't do that if your 65-year-old mother is still calling you and telling you what to do. You know, you need to move here close to me. You need to go buy this car. You need to do this or that. You know, and we just say, well, sorry, Mom. You know, those days are gone. Okay, those days are over. Thanks for the advice. All right. But how is it that we do honor our older parents as adults? Well, you know, we talk to them. Okay, we talk to them. And for some adult children, sons and daughters, that can be a challenge, talking to your parents. But you need to do that, and you need to spend time with them. Of course, having the proper boundaries up, but you need to spend time with them. You need to let them spend time with your children, with their grandchildren. You need to let them have that influence and that enjoyment in their life. You can also get their advice. God has given them wisdom. He's given them years. And of course, there are qualifications here too. Some of you will say, well, my parents aren't wise in some things. And you need to consider that. You know, if you're struggling spiritually with something, if you're struggling with your prayer life or obedience to the Lord or something, you're not going to go to your atheist father. Dad, what do you think I should do? You know, that doesn't make any sense. He's not going to help you in that. You go to a spiritual father. You go to an older man in the church, or you go to the pastor, or an elder or something. You go to somebody else. But he might be able to help you make a financial decision wisely. He might be able to tell you how to get rid of your crabgrass. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could very easily go on the internet and find out how to do those things, or you could just honor your mom or dad by saying, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think I should do here? And you don't have to do it. But you say, thank you for the advice. That's helpful in making a decision. I'll think some more about that. So you get their advice. You get their counsel. And one thing that the scripture emphasizes very strongly is that you care for them when they're old. You care for them in their age. This is a part of honoring our mother and father that has really been lost in our culture. Honoring elderly parents. What do you do when parents are in declining health? They're no longer as independent as they once were. Well, you care for them. You care for them. Proverbs 23:22 says, do not despise your mother when she is old. Don't despise her. And how do you do that? By helping her. By drawing near to her and helping her. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened that it may relieve those who are really widows. That means widows in your household, probably your mother, your grandmother. It could be an aunt or something. But Paul's statement here is, don't burden others to be taking care of your elderly parents. Okay, don't burden the church. Don't ask the government to do it for you. You be responsible to do it. And how do you do it? How do you care for them in their age? That's going to depend on your situation. It's going to depend on your situation. It's going to depend on your budget. They might have certain preferences that you want to consider. In our day, nursing homes have a bad reputation, and a lot of that is deserved because a lot of them don't give adequate care. And let's be honest, nursing homes sort of have the reputation that, you know, this is where you dump the unwanted elderly. And as Christians, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Does that mean you can't have them living in a retirement home or an assisted living place or a nursing home? It doesn't mean that. It just means that you want to be involved in that. You want to be caring for them. You want to be helping them, making those decisions. You want to be visiting with them. You want to be keeping track of what kind of care they're getting and making sure they're being taken care of. You want to take your grandkids to see them. And maybe it works in your situation to have them in your home, to have them living with you. Every family has to consider it. Every family has to consider carefully what they need to do. But we need to care for elderly parents in some way. We need to be involved in their lives. God's word requires that. What other duties do we have toward older parents? And I want us to think for a little while here about parents that maybe were not very honorable towards you as children when you were growing up, when you were a teenager. Parents who maybe sinned against you. Parents who maybe you don't have a great relationship with them at this point in your life. You may just need to forgive them. It may be just as simple as that. Maybe they weren't everything they should have been to you. Maybe they didn't discharge their duties very well before God. But you may just need to forgive them for how they sinned against you. And a lot of times when it comes to parents, we have really high standards for how we were treated. And sometimes a lot higher standards than we would want to use on ourselves. And that's not always the case. I'm not saying that's always the case, but it's very easy to slip into that kind of a judgmental attitude. But unforgiveness does lead to bitterness and resentment if we don't deal with it. And I remember some years back, I was pastoring a church on the East Coast, and there was a girl that started coming to our church. She moved to the area to go to college. And for the first time, she's living away from home. And just in talking with her, and in observing her, I noticed that she was beginning to sort of live in rebellion. And especially when I would talk to her about her father, she would not be speaking very respectfully of her dad. And so I just asked her, okay, what did your dad do to you? What did he do to you to make you this resentful of him? And I could tell I really put her on the spot, and she didn't even know how to quite answer it. You know, she said, "Well, he's insensitive. He's mean. He watches action movies. You know, he watches those brainless action movies. It was just terrible, terrible father." And I was kind of getting the idea. He's probably not the most sensitive guy, probably not the best listener, not very understanding sometimes, and he was. Her parents were Christians. He was probably just a Christian father who had some issues. Just forgive him. Just forgive him. You can do that. Just let it go. Proverbs 10, verse 12 says that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. You can forgive him. Even if he hasn't asked for forgiveness, you can let love cover it. You can take it to the Lord. You don't keep bringing it up. You don't keep telling your friends about it. You just forgive him. Your parents are imperfect sinners, just like you are. And how would you want to be judged by the standard that you're using? You might not want to be. So let it go. There are real dangers of not forgiving your parents. The bitterness and the anger can stay with you for years, even after they're dead. It can stay with you for your whole life. My best friend in high school had a dad who was a Reformed minister, and he could not stand his dad. In fact, he used to come over to my house on the weekends, and I think for at least a period there, he was at my house more on the weekends than he was at his own house, just because he couldn't stand to go home. And it was understandable. His dad was a minister, but he was an overbearing, arrogant, kind of a religious jerk to everybody. And my friend's mom, she was the sweetest lady that you would ever meet. But the father would just dominate her and humiliate her and put her down. And he would do it with everybody. He did it with, they were Reformed, so they had a lot of kids, you know. He was Reformed. And all his kids hated him. All eight of his kids couldn't stand him. And when I went over to his house, I didn't like being there either. And the worst time was family devotions. You know, that was the worst time. That was the time where he showed everybody how good of a Bible scholar he was and what idiots we all were. And because I was not Reformed, I was raised Baptist, so I was the target during family devotion. So he would read a long passage out of Isaiah or something, and he would say, "Okay, Eric, what is the Baptist interpretation of this passage?" And I was like, "I don't know, sir. I don't know what it is." So what kind of church do you go to? You know, what, doesn't your father teach you anything? How come you're so ignorant? How come you don't know? And then he would give me a sermon on what the Baptists taught about it and how wrong they were and how foolish anybody could be to be a Baptist. And it's amazing that I'm Reformed today because of this guy. He was just awful. This is the way he dealt with people. And you know what happened in that home? As soon as all the kids were grown up and out of the home, the mother left. My friend's mom left my friend's father. And my friend, I kept in touch with him for years after that, and he was always angry and bitter against his dad. He never forgave his dad. And guess what happened? He became just like him. He mistreated his wife, and his wife left him. That's what happens. That's what happens when you don't forgive your parents. You become like them. And why is that? Why does it happen that way? It is because sin stirs up a cycle. And the only thing that can break that cycle is forgiveness. But if you don't forgive, then in your bitterness and in your anger, you're going to mistreat the people in your life. Right? Hatred stirs up strife. It happens. You're going to mistreat the people in your life just like you were mistreated, and often with the same results. Your bitterness and your anger just continues the cycle. And guess what? You will teach your kids to not forgive you. That's what you're teaching them to do. By the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, you can forgive your parents who've offended you. You can be free of anger towards them. You can be free of bitterness towards them. You need to do that. You need to do that. And not let that cycle continue in your own family. You can also be, one of the things you can do, even if your parents weren't great, you know, you remember a lot of these sins and things like that. You need to let that go. But you also need to do other things. You need to be grateful for what they did do right. You need to be grateful for what they did do right. And you need to start thinking about what they did do right and thank God for it and even express it to them if they're still around. And that does not mean you tell them they were great parents. Okay, don't lie, all right? Don't give some kind of false honor, because they might feel better in their old age, but deep down they know it's not true, and you know it's not true. It's really not helping anybody. But, you know, maybe they were Christians, but they weren't very strong Christians. They didn't really apply the Bible that well to their lives, but they took you to church, or they took you to Sunday school or VBS or something when you were a kid. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for that. Maybe your dad ignored you. Maybe he was just like a blank wall. You know, he was detached, but he was a provider. Maybe he worked hard. You can be thankful for that, right? Lots of kids don't even have that. Maybe your parents saw that you got a good education. Whatever they did, you know, maybe mom showed you how to keep a clean house, you know, be a good homemaker. Find things to be thankful for. That is bringing honor to them. And that's what God is commanding you to do. And you might think about, well, what if my parents were completely depraved and dishonorable? Maybe you didn't even know your parents. Maybe they abandoned you. Okay? But you cannot honestly think of one good thing that they ever did for you. How can you honor parents like that? I know some people have parents like that here. Okay? How can you honor them? Well, maybe you can pray for them. If they're still alive and they come to your memory, don't let them come to your memory with bitterness and anger. When they come to your memory, to mind, just take it before God. Just pray for them. Pray that God would change them. Pray that God would work in their lives. That may be all that you can do. But that is honoring them. That is respecting them. And, you know, one of the things that we as parents want the most for our children is we want our children to be better than we are. We want them to be better Christians than we have been. We want them to be more faithful than we have been. We don't want them to waste time, you know, and like we did in our youth. We want our children to go beyond us. And you can be thankful for that, too. You can honor your father and mother in that way, even if they don't care about it. They don't care that you're a Christian. They don't care that you're faithful. If you are a faithful father or mother, husband or wife, if you're a faithful believer, that is a way of honoring them, whether they know it or not. You're giving them a good legacy, whether they recognize it or not. And it does bring, in a sense, it does bring honor to them, and certainly brings honor to your heavenly Father. Well, the Apostle Paul says that this is the first commandment with a promise. We want to end today by looking at that promise, and we find it again in Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. There's a promise here. There's a promise of land and possessions and blessing in life. And there's a promise of longevity. There's a promise of long life as well. A long life, many years, that's not an unqualified blessing, right? I think we recognize that sometimes a wicked and ungodly person can live a long life. And they can be an ungodly, cruel individual. They enjoy a long life of prosperity. There's psalms about that. You know, why do the wicked prosper like that? But sometimes they do, and they die a peaceful death. Is that a blessing for the wicked man? No, it's not. Because when they die, they go to stand before the Lord. And all of those years in which they were wicked, and all of those blessings that they wasted, that is simply piling up judgment for them on the last day. Their long life is not a blessing. It's a curse. And likewise, sometimes faithful Christians who are children or young people will die, is that because God didn't bless them? No, it's not. The Bible tells us that there is the blessing of long life and prosperity, but the Bible tells us there's other blessings too. There's the blessing of being faithful under persecution. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world are dying young, but they have the blessing of being a martyr. They have the blessing of confessing the Lord Jesus Christ in front of his enemies right before their head gets chopped off. That's a blessing. And there's fruit that comes from that. In his plan, God has all sorts of ways of blessing people by taking them from life early. The scripture says sometimes God does that to keep his people from trouble, to spare them from trouble. Sometimes God just wants his people in his presence sooner rather than later. We don't know exactly all the reasons, but that's a different kind of blessing. That person doesn't have to wait 70, 80, 90 years to be in the presence of the Lord. But there is also the blessing of living out many years on this earth, giving joy to other people, experiencing joy from other people, knowing your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. There's a great blessing, a great joy that comes from that, that God can pour out his favor in that way. Of course, God can do it in other ways, too. And so this doesn't guarantee that you're going to live till you're 90, okay? But it's just saying that God is going to tend to bless his people who are faithful in honoring their father and mother. They're faithful in their family relationships by giving them a long time with their family, giving them a long time with their children and the generations that come after that. So that's a great blessing. Do you want that? Is that something that you would like for yourself, for your kids, for your grandchildren? Of course you would. So how do we receive that? God is willing to give it and eager to give it. We do it by honoring, obeying, respecting our mother and father at each stage in our lives. Whatever that means for you. Whatever that means for you today, wherever you are, if you're a little kid, if you're a teenager, if you're an older person, we need to do that to show reverence for God and to teach our own children to reverence God too. See, God doesn't want you hating your mother and father your whole life and your kids growing up and hating you. He doesn't want that. And so why would he bless that with long life in many years, just to perpetuate the curse? That's not what God wants. But when there's love and there's respect and there's forgiveness, that's what God wants to continue. He wants to expand that in your family. He wants your family to be a blessing to other people. And so there's something in this commandment for all of us. There's something that all of us need to do to honor and obey and reverence our parents, whatever that may be. And some of you just need to keep doing what you're doing. You just need to keep obeying mom and dad, keep doing what they tell you to do, keep honoring them, whatever that is. Just keep it up and keep doing it all through your life. Some of you here probably have things to confess. some of you probably haven't been doing some of these things that have been mentioned today. There's other things that I haven't mentioned, ways that you can honor your mother and father. Some of you parents, you might need to ask forgiveness of your children and the Lord for the way that you have been treating them. But whatever you do, don't ignore the Word of God. Don't walk away today and think, this doesn't matter. This doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody here. It applies to everyone in this room. Obedience to the Lord brings life and blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the mothers and the fathers that you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would respond toward them and we would treat them and speak about them and honor them in a way that brings glory to you, in a way that shows that you are God and that your authority and your greatness stands behind them. Forgive us, Father, as parents and as sons and daughters where we have failed and where we have sinned. Thank you that there is always hope. There's always hope of making a new start and doing things differently. And you give us the grace to do that. And we pray these things through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.